we did a historical study of Illinois tornadoes from the 1950s to 2010, and 3% of all tornadoes in Illinois occurred in that November time frame. So it's not a lot. I mean, obviously, April, May, and June are big months, but there was still a significant number that occurred in November. Now, most of those, when you look at them, are one or two tornado events. This is the only outbreak I'm aware of for November. All our other outbreaks tend to happen in the springtime. So the ones in November tend to be single events, but this is by far the biggest number that we've seen in November.
November, actually, it's more of an active month for tornadoes than October, almost as much, though, as even September. I think people might be surprised to hear that. Is there a reason you could point to for that?
Yeah, you know, when you look at those statistics, yeah, we do see that bump in the November statistics. And I think part of that, anyway, it can be explained by many of these November tornadoes are associated with these large low-pressure systems that move through the state. Very typical for November. So, you know, kind of talk about storms on the Great Lakes and the tie-in there. But a lot of those really big storms also had tornadoes associated with them. And so we had a large low-pressure system move through the Great Lakes region this weekend. So that allowed warm moist air, or it actually pulled warm moist air out of the Gulf of Mexico. So we actually had more spring-like weather on Sunday. It was kind of eerie to be 68 degrees and humid conditions on a Sunday morning in mid-November.
And when we have days like that, I guess it just feeds into the belief that there's something going on with the climate, that people talk about, you know, this crazy weather we always have, and they look at things like a super typhoon in the Philippines. They look at this tornado outbreak in November, and they think to themselves, something must be going on. As a state climatologist, what do you say to that?
Yeah, well, you know, the tornado angle is very tough to look at. Part of the problem is that we don't have that great of records, especially before we had all the radars put in and all the storm spotter networks and everybody had cell phones and stuff. We missed a lot of tornadoes in Illinois. So the long-term statistics are hard to look at and spot any real trends in because the numbers have gone up over time, but it's just because we've been doing a better job of identifying them. And I would say in recent years, we have been plagued by more cold season tornadoes, as I guess you'd call them, in that, you know, we had back in 2012, on February 29th, we had the Harrisburg tornado that killed 8 people. So we have had this problem of these more out-of-season tornadoes that have caused deaths and injuries.
We're talking with Jim Angel. He is the Illinois State climatologist. And Jim, I talked with you over the summer, and I remember you mentioning that the state had been in what really, and not just Illinois, but much of the Midwest certainly, had been in what is known as a tornado drought. Can you talk about that and how people can, balance that out in their minds with what they're seeing over the destruction of the last few days?
That's right. That was the odd part about this year. It was actually a very quiet year up until Sunday. We had a very wet spring that gave us a lot of rain, but not much severe weather. And then we turned dry in July, August, and much of September. So there weren't many opportunities there. So we actually only had about 20 tornado reports for the state up through Sunday. And, of course, then it just exploded all at once. And, you know, historically that's been the case in a lot of years where it's not that we get, you know, lots of tornadoes over a spread of many days. In many cases, a season is determined by one or two days where the conditions are just right for tornado activity.
The tornadoes that hit in Washington, Illinois, near Peoria, and also in southern Illinois, causing some deaths in that area as well, both have been classified now as what are known as EF4. I believe that is the second most powerful tornado on the scale. Your statistics show since 1950, not many EF4 tornadoes in the state of Illinois, even fewer of the most powerful, the EF5s. So pretty rare event that we saw the other day.
That's right. Yeah, as you go up the scale, you get to the stronger and stronger storms. Those are fortunately more and more rare, and it's good for many reasons because those are the ones that are most damaging by definition, and they're also the ones that are most likely associated with fatalities. So the EF4s especially are very deadly, and the EF5s. So while they're rare, they're also ones that are kind of really outstanding ones as far as the kind of things we remember.
Well, the most people that have died in tornadoes in Illinois per year were in the years 1967 and 1990, according to at least the statistics since the year 1950. But I also saw where a couple of big events really skewed those numbers, including Belvedere and Oaklawn event in 1967 and, of course, the Plainfield event in 1990. So to some extent, having a lot of people die in tornadoes in Illinois, again, a very rare thing.
That's right. In most years, it's we have either zero deaths or maybe one or two deaths. So that's the more typical case. But then every once in a while, you have these tornado outbreaks. You get a couple of really big tornadoes show up, and then the death toll can rise quite a bit. We've got in the more recent period, like I said, 1990, we had the Plainfield tornado, which I think killed 29 people. Then we had the Utica tornado back in 2004 that killed about 8 or 9 there. And then, of course, the Harrisburg one, which I just mentioned last year with 8 deaths. So the last few years, we've actually had a few more deaths than we had kind of a quiet stretch there for about 1991 to 2003. So it's been a little busier lately.
And I know that we have better warning systems, and that can give people, you know, more notification that something severe is happening. But it really does show the power of these storms. Even when you know something is coming and you try to take shelter, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way, and you still have these things happen.
That's right. Yeah, even with the proper precautions with these very strong events, the EF4s and the EF5s in particular, it's very hard to ride those out in a house. You know, you really have to be in a basement or a more substantial shelter to survive those. So I'm actually pretty amazed, though, that that the death toll was not higher with this, just because of the kind of devastation we're seeing in Washington and in Gifford and Pekin.
And Jim, before I let you go, is there anything else that you noticed about the Sunday event that you want to pass along to people? Anything that really stood out to you?
Well, I think that one of the outstanding things to me was that the National Weather Service started to see that this was going to be an issue early on. In fact, they were starting to put out a notification that this is kind of a high risk for Sunday as far back as Thursday and Friday. So they could kind of see this setup coming. So our ability to forecast at least the general conditions is much better than it was 10 or 20 years ago. Now, we still can't forecast exactly where they're going to show up, but we can forecast the general conditions much better. And so that gives everybody a little more warning time when they do crop up.